Friends, this particular topic, chapter 13, is more technology driven because it consists of fintech, open banking, and embedded finance, which is 100% supported by the technological innovations. Therefore, there is nothing much to describe, but to the point, I will go on explaining the points only and not the details of it. Okay, so let us start for the purpose of our understanding about the evolution, then analysis and identify major collaboration in fintech, open banking, as well as the account aggregators, etc., and evaluate the future trends. Also, what is going to happen in further in next worlds, and examine the risk challenges, what the fintechs has taken the steps to improve the retail banking operations. Our structure will be revolving around the points such as evolution of fintech in retail banking, account aggregator concept and its framework, consent-based data sharing, and open banking in India, as well as the collaboration models, NBFC, fintechs, then API banking and BaaS, that is banking as services, and embedded finance, risk challenges in fintech and open banking. You are aware that fintech, open banking, and embedded finance represents the most transformative shift in retail banking in recent decades. India's digital public infrastructure. Digital public infrastructure is nothing but it is UPI, Aadhaar, eKYC, DigiLocker, Account Aggregator, Ocean, ONDC. It has created a unique ecosystem where banks and fintechs collaborate to deliver highly personalized and low-cost and real-time financial services. So everything is supported by technology. Everything is supported by technology. So under these circumstances, we have to understand which are the key drivers which support this technology. The rise of digital payment has crossed around 14 billion transactions per month by 2025. Growth of neobank, API banking, platforms like API banking and embedded finance players. RBI emphasizes on digital lending governance. So the customers demand for hyper-personalized contextual banking. Expansion of account aggregator ecosystem across the banking and the insurance, securities and taxation, etc. These are some of the drivers which pushes the innovations in fintechs and open banking. Now let us understand first the evolution in fintech in retail banking. Fintech revolution, what is happening in fintech? There are four phases in fintech evolution. First phase consists of its foundation and early innovation. What was the foundation? This phase was marked the introduction of the digital finance tool and beginning of technology-enabled retail banking. In this phase, this was happened during 2005-2015, that is FinTech 1.0 phase. What was happened during this phase? There was introduction of mobile and internet banking, Aadhaar launch, eKYC, rise of digital wallets, early electronic payment system, and it was impacted on the retail banking for initiation of remote banking, faster payment processing, digital customer acquisition, basic level financial inclusion through Aadhaar enabled system. Now FinTech 2 revolution, FinTech 2.0. This evolution is called as UPI revolution and digital transformation. What was happened during this period? UPI was launched. demonetization was happened in 2016. Then emergence of neobank and digital only journey, rise of digital lending, fintech bank partnership strengthens, and eKYC and video KYC came into existence. Then fintech 3.0, which is between 2020 to 2025, where it is called as an open banking, account aggregator and embedded finance era. What was happened during this time is account aggregators implementation happened during the year 2021 to 2024. Then digital lending guidelines were issued in 2022-23, and API banking and BaaS, banking as services, and embedded finance growth was happened, and rise of open credit empanelment network, enablement network was came into existence, and operationalization of CBDC pilot that we have seen in 2022 to 2024, and there was a rapid expansion of UPI. Now, next phase is that is proposed, FinTech 4, that is 2025 to 2030. This is emerging horizon. This phase is called as AI, programmable finance, and global open banking. Although this stage is emerging, several trends define the next wave of finance fintech evolution. The future trend consists of AI-driven retail banking, programmable money, then expansion of the cross-border open banking, full integration of financial and non-financial ecosystem, and RegTech and SuperTech came into existence. Now, one by one, we will see what is the account aggregator. FinTech we have seen. Account aggregator. What is account aggregator? Account aggregator is a network of central to India's open banking ecosystem. Right? This is a framework, one of the most transformative component of India's digital financial infrastructure, which was introduced in 2021. Here, what happens? Objective which initiates this account aggregator framework is to empower the customers with ownership of their financial data, then to facilitate secure consent-driven data sharing between regulated institutions. Then it enables the faster and more accurate credit decisioning and promote financial inclusion. Standardized financial data sharing protocol was also developed during this period across the banking, insurance and securities, create a backbone for cash flow based lending. Who are the participants in account aggregator ecosystem? They are financial information providers, then financial information users, FIUs, and accounting aggregators, that is licensed NBFC, and end user, that is customer, which is an individual or MSME who provides the digital consent for their data to be shared. How account aggregator framework works? Step-by-step process is explained here in this diagrammatic flow. First, customer selects an FIU, that is example, a bank offering a personal loan. FIU requests financial data via account aggregator. Customer receives a consent request on their account aggregator app. Then customer views it. Data requested, purpose of data requested, then duration for which it is required, then frequency of usage of data, and FIU identity from whom the request is received. This step will be followed by the customer when customer approves digitally using OTP or biometric authentication or account aggregated login credentials. FIP, for example, customer's bank shares the encrypted data with account aggregator, and account aggregator transfers the data securely to FIU who need it, and FIU uses the data for credit appraisal, underwriting or otherwise services. This is how account aggregating framework works. Types of financial information shared through the account aggregator, which consists of banking data, lending data, securities and investment data, insurance data, GST and tax data, and other data flow. And the features of this account aggregated framework consist of consent. It is consent based. It has data minimization and it has data encryption. It has a standardized API and no data storage is required here. That is why frequently it is asked when, what is the duration is mentioned, period for which it is used, and when, what is the frequency it will be used. So there will be no data storage. As and when required, it may be called for. Then portability. User may switch between the multiple AIAA provider, account aggregated providers, and recurring consent. Benefits of this account aggregated framework consist of, for customers, control over their own financial data, faster access to the credit, no need to submit the bank statement manually, and more personalized financial services and enhanced transparency and security. Many times while taking the loan, banks, lending institution ask for the bank statement. So if the data is shared to the FIU, then there will be no need of submission of the bank statements and all, right? For bank and NBFC, lowering underwriting cost, reduce the fraud, real-time risk assessment, and improve customer experience. And for the fintechs, it is easier onboarding the client, accurate insight for the product recommendation, and enabler personal finance apps. Challenges and risk in account aggregator consist of low customer awareness. This is one of the implementation channels. Then technical integration issue. Then privacy and security concern, followed by the consent fatigue, repetitive use, repetitive asking to the customer. He may fatigue. He may not like to respond it for the participation. Then limited use case initially, mostly focused on the lending. Then operational risk, downtime in any particular participating institution, it disrupts the account aggregator flow. Now, consent-based data sharing. Consent-based data sharing means that it ensures that the financial data moves only with the user permission. In encrypted form, suppose if any information is asked by the bank and banks must ask your consent, then only the data can be shared. It strengthens the trust, transparency, and security in an increasingly digital retail banking environment. Need for consent-based data sharing. Why it is required consent and why it is required sharing? Because there is a rapid digitalization of financial services, customer protection and data privacy, shift to the cash flow-based credit, regulatory mandates, transparency and trust, and digital personal data protection. Key principles. Consent-based data sharing consists of, it's explicit. Explicit means consent must be active. That is OTP authorization and not it is implied. Informed. Informed is user must clearly understand what is the data is shared, what data is shared. User must know for what purpose, for how long it will be used, with which institution. Then granular level, one should know the customer choose the specific duration, one time or recurring, type of data, that is bank account or GST return or mutual fund holding, or frequency, it is hourly, daily or weekly. when, what is the time period for that they are asking? Then revocable. Revocable means user can withdraw the consent anytime through the account aggregator app or service providers. It is auditable also. Every consent transaction is logged and available to the user for review. The core component of the consent-based data sharing workflow consists of, number one, request for the data, number two, FIU, that is bank or insurance, initiates the request. Step two will be the consent notification. Then AA platform notifies the customers. Step three will be customer review. Here the customer views, purpose and types of duration, institutional requesting it should be provided. And then step four will be the approval via account aggregation app, and the user verifies the, identify the thorough data, then OTP will be generated, password will be provided, or biometric will be either of these three. And step five, FIP shares the data, and FIP encrypts and transmits the data to account aggregator. Next step will be the data transfer to FIU, and next one will be account aggregator sends the encrypted data to FIU. Finally, the service delivery happens and FIU uses the data for the loan or underwriting, right? This was the simple core component of the consent-based data sharing workflow. Types of consent allowed: one-time consent, recurring consent, time-bound consent, or purpose-bound consent. It may be data shared once, or maybe periodic interval, or may be valid only for the selected duration, or strictly it can be tied up for the particular purpose only, right? This can be used for loan application or working capital loan or PFM app tracking, monthly spend, or insurance premium assessment. Now, risk and challenges in consent-based data sharing. It is low user awareness, consent fatigue, privacy consent, system integration issue, security risk, and regulatory overheads for the bank and fintechs. Benefits of the consent-based data sharing consist of, the for a customer is greater control on transparency, better access to the credit, eliminates the paperwork, secure the digital experience, and for banks it's accurate and underwriting, lowers the operational cost and reduces the fraud. Next one will be the fintechs, access to verified data, ability to deliver the customized financial product, and next one for regulators is improved financial stability. These are some of the benefits. Now, open banking in India. This is all about the fintech. This is all about what we have discussed is a fintech. Now, let us understand open banking. What is open banking? Open banking in India refers to the regulated sharing of financial data and the banking services through the secure API with the customer consent across the bank, NBFC, fintechs, and other financial institutions. This open banking in India empowers the customers with control over their financial data, increased transparency of the financial services, it enables the innovation through the fintech bank collaboration, it reduces the fraud for improved risk assessment, promote financial inclusion and SME credit access, create standardized interoperable digital financial ecosystem, improves efficiency in lending, payment and PFM and wealth management. Regulatory foundations of open banking is, open banking in India is governed not by one law but by an interlinked regulatory framework. This is account aggregator framework by RBI. Account aggregator framework by RBI. And account aggregator ecosystem is a backbone of open banking. Right. Then data empowerment and protection architecture. It is developed by DEPA or MEITY. Then Digital Personal Data Protection Act 2023, RBI Digital Lending Guidelines, NPCI Open API Framework, Sectoral Regulatory Supporting Open Finance, and the benefit, these are some of the regulators for open banking. Now, what are the benefits of the open banking? For customer, it is a faster and cheaper financial services, personalized product offering, better control over the financial data, and convenience of time saving. For banks, it is improved underwriting through the verified data, reduced fraud and manual processing, and lower the customer acquisition cost, faster digital onboarding. For fintechs, it is access to the banking services without a banking license and ability to offer an innovative digital financial product, scalability and ease of integration. Like benefits, there are challenges also in implementing the open banking. Challenges are low consumer awareness, lack of standardization across bank, data privacy concerns under multi-party integration, operational risk due to dependency on third-party platform, consent fatigue from repeated requests to the customer, then cybersecurity vulnerability in API layers, and legacy core system which is slowing the integration. Collaboration models, bank, NBFC, and fintechs. There are various models, collaboration models for the banks, NBFC, and fintechs. Collaboration models consist of, one is a fintechs as a distributor, that is model one. Fintechs is used as a distributor, where fintech provides the customer interface. For example, PhonePe, Axis Bank, Paytm, HDFC Bank, right? Then model two, here the fintech as a technology partner. Fintech works as a technology partner. Bank outsources the digital journey, KYC analytics, and onboarding. Model three is digital lending partnership. Co-lending between NBFC and banks. Fintech provides the credit scoring and customer acquisition, which is regulated by RBI Digital Lending Guidelines. Now, neobank model is a model number four. What is the neobank? The fintech offers the banking like interface, Underlying, bank provides the regulated services. And model five is embedded finance integration, that is fintech or bank services embedded into e-commerce or ride-hailing or travel apps. Sixth model is a BaaS, that is banking as a service platform. API platform, that is MP2, Zeta, etc. These are the some of the platforms. Collaborative benefits consist of lower customer acquisition cost, faster innovation, better risk score, access to the underserved segments, scalable operations, collaboration risk, and data leakage. Collaboration risk consists of data leakage, operational risk, compliance gaps, and outsourcing risk under the RBI guidelines. API banks and BaaS. API banking. What is API banking? API banking enables the secure real-time access to the bank services such as KYC payments, account statements, and thorough digital interface. The common API category consists of KYC app, accounts apps, API, then lending API, and card issuance API. Banking as a service, that is BaaS, it provides help fintechs to deliver the banking services without needing a banking license. For example, of the bus platform in India is Setu. Now it is called as a Pine Labs. M2P, Jetta, Decentro, Yap and Prepor. These are some of the platforms which are used under bus. Use cases is the instant digital saving account opening, then credit card issuance through the fintech app, then embedded payment for e-commerce, buy now pay later, that is BNPL product, SME banking dashboard, and digital escrow account. Now coming down to understand another aspect, that is embedded finance. Embedded finance refers to the seamless integration of the financial product and services such as payments, credit, insurance, investment, and banking directly into non-financial platform, right? Including e-commerce, marketplace, ride-hailing apps, food delivery services, travel portals, ERP systems, and even offline merchant networks also. In this embedded finance, the customer does not need to visit a bank, website, or app. Instead, the banking and financial services are made available inside the user journey of everyday apps and business platforms. This model is transforming the retail banking by enabling the banks and fintechs to reach the customers where they already are, providing the frictionless financial experience in real time. Objective of the embedded finance consists of deliver financial services and point of need, improve customer experience through the convenience and the speed, reduce the customer acquisition cost, leverage the platform data and better underwriting and personalized offers, expand the access to the credit for underserved and infirm segment, and enable the business to become the distribution partners for bank and fintechs. What are the drivers for the embedded finance? Drivers are digital public infrastructure, India Stack, API banking or banking as a services bus, growth of e-commerce in gig economy, regulatory push for transparency, and customer demand for convenience. Now, key component of embedded finance consist of embedded payments. Embedded payments consist of in-app UPI, one-click checkout, tokenized card payments, wallet linked to the ride-hailing or e-commerce app, and embedded lending consists of BNPL, that is buy now, pay later, checkout EMI options, and credit for the gig workers, that is delivery riders and drivers, merchant working capital loans based on the platform sales. Embedded insurance consists of flight delay insurance offered on travel portals, product insurance on electronics e-commerce, ride insurance for mobility platform, and embedded investment is a mutual fund SIP on e-commerce platform, digital gold saving integrated into apps, micro-investing into via payments apps. Embedded finance workflow typically consists of these six stages, which consist of when it's a customer, it's a non-financial platform uses, it calls for API calls will be there, then bank and NBFC, which will be approved and processed and service integrated into platform. Now, typical embedded finance transaction flow will be there. For example, a customer book a flight, travel app offers insurance, partner insurance issues the policy instantly, and payment integrated via UPI cards, policy stored in DigiLockers. Now, business model in embedded finance. Model 1, that is bank fintech partnership. Bank provides regulated services. Model 2, BaaS as a platform, as aggregators. Platforms like M2P or Setu, Decentro connect banks with apps, and marketplace model is a model 3, that is e-commerce platform offers the loan insurance through the multiple financial partners. Model 4 is a merchant platform-led financial services, and which consists of data-rich platform like Zomato, Swiggy, Ola, etc. Model 5 is an OEM or device-based embedded finance, which is a smartphone manufacturer, Samsung or Xiaomi, offers the digital finance options. Benefit of embedded finance. Benefit of embedded finance consists of, for customers, it is convenient, frictionless access to the financial product, no need to visit the bank for branches or portals, faster approvals and better targeted offer. For banks and NBFC, it is low cost of the customer acquisition, pre-verified customer base, better risk scoring with the platform data and increased digital business volumes. For platforms like e-commerce and mobility retailers, it is high customer loyalty, additional revenue streams and increased transaction volume. It is improved retention and cross-selling. It is cross-selling. Now, risk and challenges in embedded finance. Data privacy risk, regulatory compliance risk, dependency and non-financial platforms, customer potential risk, cybersecurity risk, credit risk are some of the risks that has been observed. The regulatory framework relevant to the embedded finance is regulated by Reserve Bank of India Digital Lending Guidelines, right? Then DPDP Act 2023. Third is IRDA regulations for mandatory disclosures for embedded insurance. And then SEBI regulations, guidance for the digital mutual fund distribution, NPCI framework and UPI autopay or tokenization rule, e-mandates for EMI or BNPL. Risk and challenges in fintech and open banking. The major risk and challenges in fintech and open banking landscapes consist of data privacy and security risk. Because of increased exposure through the API, personal data misuse, social engineering attack, and sensitive financial data leakage. The operational and technology risk is due to the third-party dependency, lack of standardization, scalability issue, legacy system integration, algorithmic risk, and regulatory and compliance risk. Regulatory and compliance risk consists of misalignment between the bank and fintech role, digital lending guidelines and compliance, cross-sectoral regulations, and data location requirements. Consumer protection risk consists of mis-selling of product, predatory lending practices, low financial literacy, over-indebtedness, and fraud cybercrime risk is API fraud, token manipulation, deep fake KYC fraud, UPI fraud mechanism, insider threats. Government and ethical risk, risk in ecosystem level, interconnectedness, market and competition risk, which consists of margin pressure on bank, threat to the traditional distribution model, and sustainability of the fintech business model. Regulatory restrictions are also there. Then challenges in implementing the open banking India. The open banking, the low adoption of account aggregator, or although it is rapidly going, customer awareness is still low. The technical integration differs. Some banks do not provide the real-time data, use inconsistent technical schemas, and have a slow account aggregator onboarding, consent fatigue, lack of standardized API framework, cross-sector regulatory conditions, etc. are some of the challenges and the risk. With this, we complete our discussion on open fintech, open banking, and embedded finance. Thank you very much.